Welcome to the Business Survival Show, where entrepreneurs tell their stories of failure and success. This episode is brought to you by the Business Blueprint, business and marketing coaching for small business owners wanting to break through and survive. To learn more, you can visit thebusinessblueprint.io.
I'm grateful to have BaseBuild president and founder Dave McKillen. BaseBuild is an on-demand coding technical department for marketing agencies. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Jesse. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I think we're all getting through the whole COVID thing and glad to see the back of 2020. So hopefully 2021 will be a better one.
Some people had some great 2020s, others not so great. I think we're all grateful to at least have an opportunity to start fresh. And January 1 is always a good time to rethink our direction and what we're focused on. I really look forward to learning more about BaseBuild, what you're up to and how you got started. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what BaseBuild is and where you're located and a little bit about yourself?
Sure. BaseBuild is currently located in, or should I say headquartered in Salt Lake City in Utah. We, myself and my business partner, Chris Walk, started BaseBuild in 2015 with the idea that we just wanted to break out on our own and focus on working on development projects that sort of meant something to us. It's always been a goal of mine or a hope of mine that I could start my own business someday.
So at the beginning, I mentioned that you do on-demand coding and technical department for marketing agencies, or is it marketing software? Can you just delve in a little bit into specifically what does your team do?
Specifically focus or try and present ourselves specifically as on-demand coders for marketing agencies, because we just find working with marketing agencies as opposed to end clients is a little easier. They're a little bit more professional or in the know in terms of what we do, so we don't have to hand hold as much or explain as much of the detail, and they're already in the sort of in the business, if you will. Chris and I got to the point where we're like, okay, let's just try and target towards who our ideal client would be, that being a marketing agency. And I think it's, frankly, it's a very important thing for any business to do, is to try and really target who your ideal clients are and do one thing and do it right.
If you could give me just a little, just so I'm clear and as well as my audience, when you say you're doing coding and technical departments for marketing agencies, can you give me an example of a project you worked on?
Typically, marketing agencies, we find the marketing agencies don't have their own technical departments. They will come to us or a development group similar to us to step in as needed. We've worked with a ton of different clients from all walks of, from all different industries as a result of working with these agencies. We've worked with the US ski team, the Swedish ski team. We work with groups like Spingo, which is a local events company, local to Salt Lake City. We work with NASTAR, which is the mothership in the United States, skiing and snowboarding. But we've also worked with non-marketing agencies, another local group here in Salt Lake that isn't a marketing agency, but we do try and we try and focus on agencies, but we do also work with some companies that are referred to us that maybe also have an idea of what they need, what they want to do. Even though we target marketing agencies, we will work with other companies.
That gives me a little bit more context as to what your team does and what problems you might possibly have. There's tons of marketing agencies out there. I've worked for several myself, and I know there's definitely a problem there with coding, software right. development, whether it's custom inside of, you know, Salesforce.com or other type of areas. Tell me a little bit about your business and your team. Are you all condensed into one geographic area? Or are you distributed, you know, around the country or the world for that matter?
It's a good question, and actually ties in with this kind of new norm that we're seeing at the moment because of COVID. So we are a distributed company. We all work from our home office. We're distributed across the US and different parts of the world, which can be a tricky thing for some clients to come to terms with, because traditionally they want to work with a local company based in a local office. But the reality is this new norm that a lot of companies are experiencing right now is something that BaseBuild has always experienced since we began. We've been a distributed group from the very beginning. And, you know, frankly, we've always wanted it that way. It's not as we decided not to have a bricks and mortar office, but rather we prefer to, for want of a better term, beat the cubicle. We don't really want our teammates to be stuck, essentially stuck in front of a computer 10 hours a day, where their work becomes their life. Our goal was to make people want to work for Basebuild, to be happier, to be integrating work into their life as opposed to making work their life. It makes for happier team members. We work smaller, more numerous shifts, if you will. So we'll work at the start of the day, end of the day. And it's a good thing for a lot of our clients because then we end up being available late in the evening as well as during the day. As a general concept, that we're trying to get away from this idea of sitting in front of a computer 9 to 5 at a desk where it affects your physical well-being. If you're not physically healthy, physically fit, then it's going to obviously affect your mental well-being. It's going to affect your work. At the end of the day, when you die, will you look back wishing, oh, I wish I'd worked more? Or are you going to say, look, integrating life and work together and making them sort of work, align them better so that I can do whatever chores I have to do, going exercise, go socialize, and get my work done as well. That's really what we're trying to, that's what really part of what Basebuild is all about.
That's great. You did that from the beginning. There's a lot of organizations that have done the same thing that you have, and they've seen great success from it. They've been able to hire the best talent, no matter what market that person lived in, whether it was, in your case, Salt Lake City, or whether it was New York or Boston or the Silicon Valley, Seattle. There's so many great markets, or even in many cases, you can find talent in Omaha, Nebraska, for example. You're not limited to hiring people specifically in a geographic area. So there's a lot of flexibility and benefits.
Larger companies, larger organizations, larger development firms need to have weekly and daily meetings and need to have people in touch all the time. But we try to be a little bit more flexible because we can be with being a small company.
I mentioned just a minute ago about benefits. What have some of the benefits been of having a distributed team?
I think what it does is it opens up opportunities to find people that fit the niche or fit the roles that you need. Ultimately, if you can help team members understand what they're good at, or if you can find team members that are good at particular things, then it becomes less of a chore to work, if you will. Like when they understand what they're capable of, what they're good at, and that they have an important role in a company, then it makes for a better process all around in terms of the projects that we put out and just a happier environment. So being distributed, I think, gives us an opportunity to find people in different parts of the world that, as opposed to trying to hire just locally. And I think that sort of trickles down to affect the rest of the company in a positive way.
Are there any challenges of when you start a company that's entirely distributed and then you have to look at hiring people in different markets? Are there any challenges that you didn't expect that you faced along the way?
When you're working with people in different time zones, it can be tricky. But frankly, we see that as more of a benefit than a challenge because, like I said earlier, you have people at different times of the day available to pull in if there's an emergency or if there's something that needs to be worked on in the evening time. There are some challenges with it, but at the end of the day, you can always meet whenever you need to, have a meeting whenever you need to, which is something else that we actually try and limit or minimize in terms of having too many meetings and pulling people away from the work they should be doing. That's another thing Basebuild tries to pride itself on. We have meetings if and when they're required and limit them to a very specific sort of short time, as opposed to a lot of companies, or even companies that I've worked for myself before, will tend to like to have meetings all the time. It becomes sort of a means for the boss to hear themselves talk, so to speak. We try and limit our meetings. We try and utilize people that are very specifically suited to the roles that we're hiring. And as you mentioned, finding people from different parts of the country, the world, as opposed to right next door or within a sort of 5 or 10 mile radius is just much more beneficial.
I've worked most of my career remotely, and there's definitely a lot of benefits. I tend to find myself working more maybe than I would if I were in a physical office. So how do you encourage, or what are some of the strategies that you found for yourself, but also your team, on ensuring that people are right? Because you are in front of a computer, whether it's in a cubicle or at home in a home office, how do you prevent burnout from when you're a distributed team? Because you don't see people face to face, and you don't, and if you're not having a lot of meetings, you're not able to see some of those early symptoms of burnout or working too much. What are some of the things that you have learned as you've built your business and to identify that and to overcome that challenge?
I think a big part of that is actually being transparent, not with just with your clients, but also with your team members. And sort of honesty, transparency plays a great role in business in general. Communication is really important. Communication is probably the number one most important thing in business. As long as you stay in touch with your people that you're working with and you have a good dialogue, good understanding, then it really helps a lot. The smartphone is both a wonderful addition to our lives in terms of us being able to be in contact 24/7. Of course, that's also a bit of a challenge in that you're in contact or you're contactable 24/7. So like with Skype or whatever different WhatsApp, whatever different communication mechanisms, Slack that you use on your phone, it's great that you're able to stay in touch with other team members. And it's actually something that we try and encourage in terms of, we tell our teams like, look, take the time off that you need. If you need to go and run a chore, you need to go do something, that's fine. Try and keep, in our case, Skype, keep Skype available on your phone. It sounds like we're chaining them to us a little bit, but really what happens is they tend to keep Skype available. It gives them a lot more freedom to go do whatever they want. And if we do need to contact them about something that's urgent or just trying to get an update on something, they will get a little ping on their phone and say, hey, person X, can you check into this when you get back to the desk? Or the irony of the ability to communicate because of the smartphone, it's ironic because it keeps you connected, but at the same time, that communication or that ability to stay in contact while you're not at your desk provides a newfound freedom.
As you've built your team, you have multiple projects going on at any one time. What process or structure have you implemented in order to manage workflow, manage projects? Are you using an agile methodology? What does that look like for your business?
I think every company goes through the process of, especially small companies, initially you start out with an Excel sheet or a Google spreadsheet, a Google sheet of some kind where you're keeping track of projects here and there. You eventually evolve into needing bigger Excel sheets or something a little bit more complicated, or should I say organized, a little bit more sort of complex or detailed. We, for specifically for project management, we use Teamwork, which is ironically a company based in Ireland. And I came across them completely as a result of looking for a project management tool and just happened to come across and didn't know they were Irish. It was just happenstance. And they really are a great company. We've shifted to Teamwork completely. This sounds like an infomercial, but it's really not. They really just do a great job. So we use that a lot for project management. We use Skype and email for communications with the clients and between team members. I'd say there's a few processes that we like to use.
I want to switch real quick and ask you a question that I was just thinking about. If you were to go back to the version of Dave that started your business years ago, what would be some of the advice that you would give that Dave? Is there anything you would have done differently or recommended that version of yourself when you started the business?
That's a great question. I think probably the most important piece of advice that I would have given my young self, not that young, because only 6 years ago, or anybody starting a new business for that matter, would be to figure out who your client base is, who your ideal target market is, and focus on them right away. As soon as you possibly can, I think it's smart to try and figure out who your target is and which target works best for you, which client works best for you, which is the best synergy, the best match. Ultimately, you're going to start to trim out a lot of the fat of relationships that don't work, that just don't work for that end client, or you're just not making enough money on them. And it can be a little painful. You find yourself saying, oh, let's not go for this type of client anymore, or let's literally like let go of some clients just because they're not really, there's not a good synergy, that you're not making a lot of money from them, to be blunt. And this is business after all. So I would say, know who your client is, target them very specifically. And also try and, again, it's a cheesy phrase or whatever, but do one thing and do it right. In other words, if you're a graphic designer, for example, in the graphic design world, maybe it behooves you to become a logo designer. Be very specific. Try and target an area where you think there is a good stream of business that you're particularly good at. Use your strengths and just try not to become too much of a jack of all trades, because that can become pretty expensive in terms of time wasting, in terms of not charging for the real value of what you're worth.
Whenever I first started my marketing consultancy, I think it's been 5 years now, I went after anything. When you start your business, you go after whoever you can initially.
But You have to
in order to survive. That's why I have this podcast called The Business Revival Show, because it highlights the ways that companies can survive. So I think your point of do what you need to do at first, but be able to identify who do you really enjoy working with. Find what you're passionate about, find what you're doing, but make sure that you have a good product market fit as well. So
how did you come up with the podcast? It's a brilliant idea, by the way. Kudos to you. But how did you, and I'm going to tell everybody about it. I'm going to see if I can spread the word, but how did you come up with this idea originally? What sort of made you want to get into the podcasting world?
A lot of it really came out of watching some of these companies in 2020 not do well or struggle, and that they were frustrated. They were feeling helpless. And yeah. I wanted to create a place where people could come and listen and go, yep, you know what? I'm going to keep forging forward. I'm not ready to give up. So that was part of the reason why I started it.
It's funny. We should also mention to these companies that are struggling, or new companies, like people that are thinking of starting out on their own or whatever, you're not alone. There are going to be struggles, and it's not easy. Like, being a successful business and maintaining a successful business is not an easy thing. I want to say, what is it? 80% of small businesses fail within 3 years or something like that. Don't hold me to that number, but it's a very, so like, you're not alone. Reach out to people like Jesse or like myself. It's okay to touch base with other companies and see what they're doing. I would say don't give up. Don't be put off by some early failures. From my perspective, starting a business, even with some tough times, was one of the best things I've ever done, because not only is your personal salary going to be higher when you work for yourself, you're going to have much more flexibility in your time and your freedom. So I would say, just to people that are struggling, don't give up. There are good times ahead. If you're doing something and that's not working, it's okay to pivot and try something different. You're not alone, I guess, is the message.
I think that's great advice. The one thing that I found is being a solopreneur gets very lonely at times, because you don't have anybody to bounce ideas off. You don't have team calls every Wednesday afternoon at 1:00. So right. I think that having a network of people, for me, this podcast is a great outlet, because one, I learn from people like you. I get inspiration from people like you and all the other guests that I have come on. And it gives me a sense of purpose. I think that it's an important thing for entrepreneurs to be able to create a network of people and find that passion. The other thing, and I'm just curious, I'll ask you a real quick question here, and then we'll have to wrap up, because I know we're getting to the end of our time. One of the things that I found is super helpful for me as an entrepreneur, and one of the other benefits of being an entrepreneur, is it gives us time to give back to our community. Is there something that once you started your business, you were able to pick up and really start focusing more on that? I think you used to do jujitsu. So are you still doing jujitsu? And two, has being an entrepreneur given you an opportunity to focus on other passion areas?
First of all, yes, I still do jujitsu. And I also think that's a really good tie into what we're talking about earlier in terms of health and making sure that whatever you do in your day-to-day work, to integrate exercise. For me, I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, BJJ. And for me, it's an integral part of my life to do that as often as I can. I'm at the gym most every weekday and sometimes on the weekend, but I try to be involved in that community. I think having an outlet, and very specifically an exercise-based outlet, is very important, because, again, you have to find something that you would do almost if it was bad for you. In other words, like, you have to find something that you're going to do because you love it, and you're not just going to go to the gym in January and February and start doing it to try and find some fitness that was like a fake thing almost. You have to find something, in my case, jiu-jitsu, that you love, that you do, even if it was bad for you almost.
I couldn't agree with you more there either. I haven't done jiu-jitsu for a while, unfortunately, but I've been getting into trail running. And through the beginning of COVID back in March, there wasn't a lot of opportunities to do things indoor. So I went to the local trail and just started trail running. And I used to say I hated running. I still, to this day, will say I hate running. Getting out on the trail, running, it's almost like mental meditation because you can just listen to the breeze blowing in the trees or hearing the birds during the spring. It gives you a place to just step away from work and really get into
your mind,
get into your fitness and just feel better when you're done. Absolutely. I know I need to wrap up here. It's been awesome talking to you, Dave. Before I go, what is the best way that my listeners can learn about your company and what you're doing?
You can go to basebuildinc.com, basebuildinc.com. And there's a little bit of information about what we do, who we are. And we also actually, it's funny about you talked about giving back. I hope this gives back in some way. We also have a little COVID-19 tracker for each of the US states and also for a couple of other countries to try and just make it easier for people to see what the curve is, where they're the number of cases per day and things like that. That was, you talked about giving back. We tried to use our coding capabilities to produce something that people can check whenever they want, just to see where, what the curve looks like, if it's getting better in your state or you need to be more prepared if it's getting worse. We also have a little 2021 insights for marketing agencies where we kind of canvassed roughly 200 marketing agencies across North America, asking them their perspective of how 2020 went and how 2021 will go in terms of strategies and things like that for agencies. And so we did that also to try and give back and to try and learn ourselves too as to what's going on there. Feel free to reach out to me, contact at basebuildinc.com too.
All right, cool. I appreciate you coming on, Dave, and forward to seeing what 2021 has in store for BaseBuild, and really appreciate the resources that you provide for the community as well. So thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
All right, have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.